I was going to tell you a joke today, but I don't know if I should I tell you the joke. You want to hear the joke or not? All right. This is a dog joke. We all like dogs, okay? Hank didn't believe that Fred's dog could talk. So Fred asked his dog, "What's on top of the house?" "Roof," the dog barked. Hank wasn't convinced, so Fred asked the dog, "How does sandpaper feel?" "Roof." He still wasn't convinced. "Okay, who was the greatest baseball player of all time?" Fred asked the dog. "Roof." With that, Hank walked away shaking his head. The dog turned to Fred and asked, "What does he think it was, Derek Jeter?"
I like some of these jokes. I like to laugh. I'm not a very good joke teller. I wish Curtis was up here. He's the best joke teller I know. I'd let him be the joke guy every day because he says good jokes. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me get some glasses on. And I'm only going to read you a few scriptures. I'm not going to share everything that I had up here today. I'm only going to read a little bit. And, you know, the Lord was kind of dealing with me about the high places in God. And the title to the sermon today was going to be the high places and hinds feet. Okay? And there's a lady that wrote a book, and there's a story about hinds feet on high places. And it's a story of a young woman and named Much Afraid. Her name was Much Afraid. Okay, it's kind of an allegory. And her journey away from her fearing family and into the high places of the shepherd, guided by her two companions, sorrow and suffering. It's an allegory of the Christian devotional life from salvation through maturity. And you know, a lot of times when people become Christians, they think that everything's just going to be wonderful all the time. There's not going to be any problems. There's not going to be any trials or tribulations. And that's not true. Sometimes there's going to seem like there's even more because you're going to be concerned about people that in times past you weren't concerned about because your focus was always just on yourself. And you know, it's one of these things that I don't know if you've ever watched any of these nature shows. I love to watch nature shows because I believe you can glean so many things by watching them out of the wonderful things that God does. And I don't know if any of you all have ever seen when they show these, I guess they're rams or goats or whatever they are. I'm not exactly sure. But those things will be out on these mountainsides. And I've seen them actually climb up a cliff that was almost straight up. And I mean, it's just like their feet, for some reason, they can just get a hold of the little crevices and stuff, and they can just go right up almost a straight incline and climb to high places. And when they climb to high places, it's usually to get away from the things that would be after them or trying to get to them. And I want you to know that at times, I believe God lets us walk through some dark places. And when we walk through dark places, it's not because we did anything wrong. It's not because he doesn't love us. It's because he wants us to come to the realization that he's right there with us all the time, regardless of what situation is surrounding us. You know, there's a scripture that says light and darkness are all alike to him. And that's because wherever he is, the true light of life is there. And I don't care what you're going through or how much discouragement you might be in or how much, how much tribulation might be happening around you or with you or whatever, I want you to know that he's always there. And he's promised he'll never leave you or never forsake you, no matter what. And a lot of times we're to count it all joy when we even fall into divers temptations, realizing that those things have come to help perfect us. Because what perfects us in them is that we acknowledge God right in the middle of them, and he gives us a surpassing victory if we'll just acknowledge him. And a lot of times we have a tendency that, like Peter, when Peter got out of the boat, we begin to observe the wind and the waves. And when you start looking at the wind and the waves too much, guess what? You start sinking. And when we find ourselves sinking spiritually or sinking physically or whatever it is, we need to quit observing the winds and the waves and get our eyes upon Jesus. And when we get our eyes upon Jesus, then all of a sudden we begin to rise back up, because he stretched forth his hand and he lifts you out of it. Okay. Now I'm just going to read you a couple of these scriptures. I'm not going to go into a lot of this. And in 2 Samuel, and I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. It says, this is 2 Samuel verse 20. I'm going to read it to you from verse 28. And it goes like this, and it says, the afflicted people you will deliver, but your eyes are upon the haughty, from whom you will bring down. For you, O Lord, are my lamp, and Lord lightens my darkness. For by you I run through a troop. By my God I leap over the walls. And you know, when I read that scripture, I was thinking about Joel. And in the book of Joel, it talks about, I'm going to read you a little bit of that. It says, blow ye a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming and it's at hand. And I want you to know the day of the Lord is always at hand. And it's always in a position of coming to you greater and greater and greater revelation of him. It says, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. And you know, a lot of times when the morning clouds spread over the mountains, you can't see the mountaintop. And sometimes, you know, you'd like to be up on the mountaintop because there's clear vision up there. And you know, I was over in Hawaii one time years ago, and when I was over there, we was on Maui. And on Maui, there's a big, huge mountain over there. And that mountain is, you're at sea level, and at the top of that mountain, it's 10,000 feet above sea level. Okay? It's pretty high, you know. And when we were over there, we decided to go up to the top of that mountain. And we rented a van, and we was driving up that mountain, and it took a long time to get to the top of that mountain because the roads kind of winded around and all this and that. And we went from what felt like a tropical paradise to, when you got to the top of that mountain, it was cold. It was about 30-something degrees up there. And there were signs everywhere saying, move slowly, because the air is so thin. You know, move slowly. And you begin to see the vegetation change. And it began to get starker and starker. But I'm going to tell you what, when you got to the top of that mountain, you had clear vision, and you could see things that you couldn't see from down on the ground. And I want you to know that that's the first time that during the day I had ever been able to see the sun and the moon at the same time with the sun out. I could literally see the moon too. And it wasn't, you know, real late, and it wasn't that early. It was kind of in the middle of the day. And I don't know why I could see the moon, but buddy, I could see it. And we were above the clouds. And, you know, it let me know that as you climb into the high places in God, it's not all idyllic as you go up. Sometimes it begins to get a little sparse. Sometimes you don't have as many friends. Sometimes you don't have as many brothers and sisters in the Lord who are in the same position that God's taking you into. And a lot of times they'll look at you, and if you begin to share with them the revelation God's given you, unless God's telling you to do it, they'll look at you like you're nuts or you're a heretic or something's wrong with you, you know, because There's a lot of them are still moving in the traditions of the elders, which make the word of God of no effect. But like I said to you in a sermon a couple weeks ago, you have to walk in the light that God gives you. You can't walk in Oscar's revelation. I can't walk in your revelation. I have to walk in the revelation. Now, I can share the revelation God gives me to share with you, and I do that. And I say to you, if you can receive it and you see it, wonderful. If you don't, just let it go. Just let it go. And anybody who comes to this assembly, you don't have to believe everything that you hear here. You don't. I'm just telling you straight out. You don't have to agree with everything that you hear here. You believe and you agree what God reveals to you. Okay? This is an individual thing. That, you know, your walk with God is an individual thing that will ultimately end up being a collective thing. Because he'll have a people who will stand up as one eventually. And when they stand up as one, they will set creation free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. Like it says in Romans the 8th chapter. You know, all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for that. And I believe God is bringing it about in his own way, in his own time, under his own, let's say, circumstances. And some of those circumstances that you're going through are different than the circumstances that I'm going through. But I'm going to tell you what, God knows exactly what each one of us needs to begin to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble in our lives, that only the precious will remain. There's only one thing precious in you. That's God's presence inside of you. If Jesus, if they came to Jesus and said, "Good master," and then he stops them and says, "Well, wait a minute. Why do you call me good?" Well, they saw the goodness of the Lord in him. And he said, "There's none good but God." And I got news for you. There's none good in any of us except the amount of God that's inside of us. And when we come to realize that, then we sort of tend to lose the power to criticize the ones around us because they just have a little less knowledge of the goodness of God than we do, maybe. You know, and maybe they haven't come up to the level where you're at now. But you don't look down on them. Like I shared with you a couple weeks ago, we need to become all things to all men. Men of low estate, we need to come down, not do the things that they do, but come down to their level and deal with them on their level, you know, and gradually begin to bring them up to a level where they can know God the same way that you know him. But so many times, if we're not careful, you know, that trumpet that's going to be blown in Zion is you. You are that trumpet. I've told you many a time, I've told you the story about Lee Helpenstein. Brother Lee, you know, shared a message one time, and God just witnessed that to my heart so strong. Brother Lee used to play the trumpet, and he'd bring his trumpet up on the stage, and he'd play the trumpet. And he was a good trumpet player. And somehow somebody knocked his trumpet over one day and put a dent in it. And he got upset. And he said, "God, they bent your trumpet." And he said, the Lord immediately spoke to him and said, "Son, that's not my trumpet. You're my trumpet." Yes. And you know what? A lot of times we look at the outward things and we begin to have a tendency that we put too much emphasis on the outward things. I got news for you. You're God's message. You're his love in the earth. You're his healing in the earth. You're his forgiveness in the earth. You're all of the things that he was. Scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, we don't always believe that, so we don't always walk in it. And the Lord dealt with me a while back, believe to receive. If you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to function in it. And it's time for us to begin to believe all of the promises in him are yes and amen. Not someday, not tomorrow, not yesterday, not whatever. The promises that he gave in the Old Testament are as much yours today as they was to the people in the Old Testament, but with a greater understanding and a greater insight into what they actually meant. Because a lot of times in the natural, they thought they meant just a natural thing. I got news for you, they had a spiritual meaning too. There's always at least three levels in the things of God. There's a lower level, there's a little higher level, and then there's the highest level. And you know, Paul made the statement that he knew a man once that was caught up into the third heaven. The third heaven. So he was caught up into the third level. And he said, I saw things up there and I heard things up there that are unlawful for me to even speak. Wow. Has God ever showed you anything that's unlawful for you to speak? He hasn't me yet. I mean, he's shown me some beautiful things over the years, but I desire to come into that place to where he, into that third heaven, so to speak. And it's not a place as much as it is an awakening of who and what you are in Christ and who and what he made you to be. You know, I want you to realize that he said, blow that trumpet in Zion. He said, the land trembles, for the day of the Lord is coming is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountain. A people come great and strong, the like of whom there have never been, nor will there ever be any more such as them, even for many successive generations. I love this. A fire devoureth before them. You know, that sounds pretty... You know, people would try to explain to you, well, bless God, that's talking about atomic bombs and all that. No, it's not. I got news for you. Our God is a consuming fire. He only consumes the things that are not of him. And the scripture declares that he makes his ministers a flame of fire. And I got news for you. You're all his ministers. The fire of God burns within you. It is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. They just haven't acknowledged it yet, so they walk about in darkness, a lot of them. But I got news for you. You've acknowledged that light's in you, that fire's within you. You know, after Jesus was resurrected and he was walking down the road, the disciples were walking down the road to Emmaus, you know, they're walking down through there and all of a sudden somebody comes up and starts walking along with them. He says, hey, why you fell? I'm just going to tell you my own words. He said, why you fellas so sad? Well, he said, well, who are you? Don't you realize what's been going on? Don't you realize that they took Jesus and that they crucified him and they did all this and they did that? And he begins to talk to them. And they're so concerned with themselves that as he's talking to them, they don't even know who he is. I mean, they walked with Jesus for years, and they don't even know who he is. And as they walk on down, they finally get to a certain place, and they tell him, well, why don't you stay and eat with us? And he goes in there, and he takes the bread, and he breaks it and blesses it. And then he's gone out of their sight. And he had been expounding to them all of the things concerning him in the scriptures. But yet they were so wrapped up in their own everyday problems and worries and everything else that they didn't even know who he was. They didn't recognize it until he breaks the bread and blesses it. And then he disappears out of their sight. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he was speaking to us? Be aware of the inward burning of the flame of the Spirit of God burning inside of you. Be aware of that. Ask God to make you extremely aware of that. As you go forth and you deal with people in your everyday life, ask him, Father, help me to keep that flame aglow, keep it burning, and use it when you want me to use it. And I'm going to tell you what he said. He says, and he goes on and he says here in this book of Joel, and he says in verse 3, and a fire devours before them, and behind them is a flame them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. I want you to know that you've walked out of some desolate wildernesses. And I want you to know God wants everything in front of you to begin to be like the Garden of Eden. He wants it to be like a new beginning. He wants it to be beautiful. He wants it to have the tree of life. He wants it to have all the trees of the garden that you can partake of, so to speak. And it goes on and says, and the land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and as swift steeds, so they run. This is out of the New King James. And it says, with a noise like chariots on the mountaintops, they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them, the people wither in pain. All the faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men, and they climb the walls like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break their ranks. And I'm going to tell you what. If you've ever seen people marching, you have a certain position in the line of a marching band. You have a certain position in the line of marching, being a marching soldier. It's not in disarray. It's not a few over here and a few over there or whatever. There's an order. God has an order. What you need to do as far as your walk with the Lord is ask the Lord, what is my order? Where is my place? Help me to walk in that place. And I'm going to tell you what, you do that and you might find that your place will be a lot bigger than what you thought it was. It might be a lot greater than what you ever imagined that it would be. Think about Stephen. You know, they chose Stephen to wait on tables, to dispense the bread and the food to all of the disciples after the death of Jesus. You know, and you know what? Stephen was faithful in that. And then after a while, there was a time when Stephen stood up and he began to proclaim to the elders at that time, from the beginning of the scriptures all the way up to where Jesus was, what Jesus had done. And you know, they took up stones to stone Stephen. But it said that the heavens were open, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And boy, I'm telling you what, when you see him standing on the right hand of the Father and you really come to the full revelation of that, there's an invitation for you to come and stand there too. And I want you to know that they stoned him to death. They picked up stones to kill him. And God could have miraculously moved him out of there or could have miraculously moved and made it stop. But I want you to know that he didn't. And what happened was, is Stephen stood there and he could say, just like Jesus said on Calvary when he was on the cross, he says, lay not this sin to their charge. And you know what? I want you to know when we can say that concerning the people that we disagree with, the people that we see doing ugly stuff and saying ugly stuff out there and doing all kind of things, when we can say, Father, lay not this sin to their charge, but forgive them. You know exactly what he will do? He will forgive them. And he does forgive them. But I want you to know that's how partially the land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of those is the appearance of horses, like swift horses they run, and with the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains. They leap like the noise of a flaming fire devouring the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. But before them, the people, it was withered in pain, and all the faces are drained of their color. They run like mighty men. They climb the walls like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break their ranks. I got news for you. People around you and out there in the world, they've built up walls. They got walls all around them. They got certain traditions religiously. They got hurts and problems and everything else to where everybody has some walls. But God's about ready to release his army into the earth, and you're part of that army of the Lord. And when he releases you into the earth and really sets you totally free, you're going to be able to climb the walls. And sometimes you've wondered, why in the world did I have to go through this? Or did I have to go through depression? Or did I have to go through dark places? Or did I have to go through that something else? Or I had to go through certain sicknesses or whatever, and God raised me up out of them. But I'm going to tell you what. He did that. He allowed you to go through some of that things so that when you come around somebody else who has that same situation and that's a wall in their life to where they can't trust God, they can't believe God, you're going to be able to climb that wall. You're going to be able to say, I know what's on the other side of your wall. I've been there. I've been in a place of depression. I've been in a place of darkness. I've been in a place of whatever's going on with you. You know, it could be anything. But I tell you what, when you come to that place, then you can climb the wall. And I like what it said over in the other portion of Scripture. It said they can leap over the wall. You know, when you can leap over a wall, it didn't take much effort to get on the other side of the wall. And God showed that to me one time with a young lady that she was a Christian. She had an alcoholic father. And her father was really bad about just getting totally drunk and just totally wasted. And you know, people say, well, you know, Rich, I believe Rich, you said when you was up here that you didn't understand that it was that bad. Alcoholism is as bad as any drug. And when you withdraw from it, you have what they call the DTs and all that stuff. You have illusions. You see things that aren't there, all kind of things. I mean, it's bad. It is really bad. It's about as bad as any drug that anybody takes. And you know what? The thing about it is that, you know, she said her father was an alcoholic, and she said they had made her, she was the valedictorian of her class, and she said she got up to say her graduation speech, and she said she looked back and she didn't see her father, and she just said, whew, you know, breathed a sigh of relief, because she said, you know, I'm just so glad he's not here. And she said she's up there giving her speech, and all of a sudden she sees him rise up out of the chairs. He was passed out in a chair. And he starts saying, oh, it's my daughter. And he's going on. And she said, I just wanted to die. She said, I literally wanted to die. I was so embarrassed. And she said, I just said, why, God? Why would you let that happen? And she said later on, you know, she was a Christian. She got married. She had kids and stuff. And she said later on, she went into a deep, dark place of depression. And she said, it was just so dark. And she said, I literally almost thought about taking my life. I can understand that, because before I came to the Lord, I got to that place, you know, because I'd ran from him for years when I'd had experiences with him and never really given my life to him. And I didn't care if I lived or died. I got down to that point. And I literally even thought about it when I was pretty young, about going and getting a gun out of the closet and shooting myself because I felt so miserable. But you know what? About that time, I finally went in the bathroom and I said, God, I can't run from you no more. I got to have you in my life. I give up. And you know what happened? He came in like a flood. And that's what he's waiting for people to say a lot of times. And sometimes when you're going through a deep, deep place, he's waiting for you to say, I give up, Lord. I got to have you in this situation. I can't deal with this. You have to be my strength. You have to come in. And he did. And that girl said that she finally came up out of that dark place. And then she started doing phone ministry. And in the phone ministry, she said people would call in when they had problems. And they said this young girl called in and she was in such a deep, dark place, she was going to kill herself. And she said, I started talking to her, and I said, honey, I know exactly where you're at. I've been there. You know, how could you possibly know? And she says, no, I've been there. And she said she actually even went and met with this girl. And when she went and met with her, she ministered to her, and she said she didn't have any family to take care of her or anything. And she said she took her in, to her house and let her come and live there. And she said she became like a daughter. And later on, she became a Christian. This girl became a Christian. And we think, well, why in the world am I going through what I'm going through? You're going through the things that you're going through. The steps of a man, and it doesn't say a righteous man in Scripture, the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what. Some of the things that you've went through, some of the things that you've been doing out there, and you think, why in the world did I do this? God allowed you. He didn't make you do it. He allowed you to do it. And why did he allow you to do that? That he can turn around and have you minister to people in that same situation and say, God met me. And if he can meet me, I was probably twice as bad as you are. You know, he can meet you, you know. But I want you to know that before them, it's like the Garden of Eden. Behind them, it's a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape their appearance, and their appearance is like horses, like swift. And it goes on down and says, they shall climb the walls like men of war. Everyone marches in formation and do not break their ranks. And I love this. They do not push one another. Now, you know, Rich was telling the story about when he was a kid, he'd make you line up to go in to go into school. And sometimes I had some bad experiences in what you were saying there. I didn't share that in Sunday school. But he said he always wanted to be first in line, so he'd run up to the front and try to get in line. He said every once in a while the teacher would say, okay, today the kids in the rear get to go in first. You ever had God do that to you? Or you think, well, Lord, you know, I've been studying, I'm ready, I'm just not. And he has somebody else go in ahead of you. Well, I tell you what, the first will be last and the last will be first. But, you know, I had an experience one time, I don't think I'm even going to tell you that because it's such an ugly experience. I'm not even going to tell you. It was an ugly experience on my part. You know, I was just in grade school, but it was an ugly thing on my part because I got totally whipped out of shape, you know, in this situation. But I want you to know that he allows us to go through these things so that we can understand when we come across somebody else who has hurts, who has these different things. And it's all for a reason. Nothing happens to you by chance. And you need to quit thinking about chance. It isn't chance. The steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. Your steps were ordered. The very things you went through with, God preordained that them would happen. He knew they would happen, and they happened for a purpose. And it says, they shall not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut. You know, Scripture says, finally, brethren, this is in Ephesians, and I'm going to close with this. Ephesians 6:10 through 18, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. You say, but man, I am so tired. I am so weary. Stand. Stand there having girded your waist with truth, or your loins, it says in the King in the regular King James. Your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. You know, the gospel is good news.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you what, that doesn't mean everything that happens to you at that particular moment is good. but it all works together for good. Okay, there's a difference. When you find yourself in the midst of a terrible situation, say to the Lord, Lord, please, what are you wanting me to learn in this situation? Help me to learn it quickly so I don't have to stay in this situation a real long time. And you know what? He will either raise you up in the middle of that situation, or he will show you exactly what you were supposed to see. And I'm going to tell you what. God loves you with an everlasting love. This is a small group in here, but I want you to know this is a mighty group in here. Just like the situation in the Old Testament, and I can't think of his name, it's slipping my mind, of Gideon. Yeah, Gideon. Where Gideon said that the enemies of the land were stealing the fruit away. And you know, the enemies that you wrestle with are not flesh and blood. They're spiritual wickedness in high places. They're the thoughts and the things that come to you to try to steal away the fruit of God, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness, the temperance, the faith, all of those things. It's all of the cares of this life that try to steal that stuff away from you, the fruit of the Spirit. But I want you to know, Gideon was down in the wine press thrashing wheat because he was hiding from the enemies. And I got news for you. You might be in the wine press. God might have you in a situation where you're just being squeezed from every side. But I'm telling you what, he's got you down there so you can thrash some wheat. So he can break the husk off of you that the true kernel, which is the bread of life, him, can break forth. He might have you in that situation, but if he's got you there, it's not because he's mad at you. It's not because he don't love you. All of a sudden, his spirit is going to speak to you like it did to Gideon and said, "Oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." And you know what you usually say when God says that to you? Who, me? You talking to me? I'm down here hiding in this. No, he called him a mighty. He sent him to begin bring the revelation of God. And I'm going to tell you what. Whatever situation he's got you in, know that he sent you. He's sending you to bring the revelation of God. Hang in there. Stand firm. Begin to praise him in the middle of it. Begin to thank him, not for what you're going through, but for who he is in the middle of what you're going through. That he is your strength. He is your shield. He is your buckler. He is your hiding place. He's all of those things to you. He is your all in all. Praise God. Well, that's all I'm going to share with you today. I didn't get the whole sermon in here, but that's okay. Because you know what? He's going to begin to open things up to you folks in the next, whatever, in his timing. It's going to be in his timing because I can't tell you exactly when it is. But he's going to begin to open opportunities up for you to begin to just reveal himself to the earth here. Because they're crying, saying, "We would see Jesus." And you know, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. And it's time we start showing them Jesus. If you all will stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, I thank you for your words, for they truly are spirit and life. I thank you, Father, that you're rising up a mighty army in the earth. And that mighty army is going to begin to set creation free. I don't care how dark it looks out there. I don't care how hateful it gets out there. I don't care what goes on out there. Because it starts in the inner man first. You know, Jesus told him the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. And Father, I ask you that your kingdom come within your people in the fullness, and you begin to show what you're doing in the earth, and you begin to help us to find our position in the ranks and begin to not break the ranks, but begin to flow wherever you have us, that you might be glorified in the earth. And Father, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, because you alone are worthy. And I thank you, and I just bow before you right now, Father, and I ask you to bless your people. In the lovely name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you again. We love you. Go and have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.